up our hearts and minds to receive God's word here this morning. Amen. So let's give Sister Janie a hand this morning. She bring forth God's word.
Amen. Amen. I'm just grateful, amen, to be here this morning. Amen. To see all of you guys. And like Jason said, amen, we just got back from Women's Convention, and it was a powerful time where we're able to receive a lot, you know. And I think some of the main points that they were making were, you know, faith, to have faith, amen, to have unity and transition, amen. And one thing I really want to talk about before I get into my word is there's a lot of transitions taking place internationally, amen. And I don't know if you guys know, but we're an international ministry. We go into the inner cities of the world, amen, and we try to reach the hurting, the lost, the young women, the young men that don't have purpose, amen. And so we have a team internationally, and we have the steering committee, which is about 8 to 10 people of women. And there's a transition taking place, amen. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's something called the third wave, amen. And I believe that that's what's happening, that young people are raising up. And so there was a transition between the steering committee and some younger generation, amen. And it's Sister Georgina and Sister Doreen, Sister Sylvia. They're now the new steering committee. And I'm just so grateful that we're able to see young people rise up. And for the gang girl leadership, amen, before it was Sister Georgina and Sister Doreen, and now we have a new leadership there, and it's Sister Lex, and it's Sister Julie from Amsterdam, and it's Sister Zanelle from San Diego, and Sister Brittany, amen, our gang international overseer's wife, amen. And I'm just excited because that means that there's room for us to rise up, amen. It's a time for us to rise up. It's time for us to take our place. And like I said, there was a lot of things that took place in California, and the leadership have their own sessions. We had sessions for the leadership. We had sessions for the gang girls. We had sessions for the kids ministry. Amen. And I just want to give a quick shout out, amen, to Sadis and the girls. Amen. They're now like been helping me with the team. I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited because they're taking it to the next level. And one thing that they were sharing a lot out there was that, man, we can't do it alone. We need a unity. We need a team to be able to come together and take it to the next level. And I really believe, you know, that Sadis, you know, she has a heart for the kids, and that's our next kids gang overseer. But, man, it takes time. It takes time of coming together. And so I was excited for that. But I'm going to get into the word now, amen. But before I get into the word, I just want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank our founders, amen, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, and our pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. I love you guys so much. I'm so grateful that you guys allowed me to go and receive, amen. And I'm going to get into the word, and it's found in 1 Chronicles 28, 11 through 12. And it says, "Then David gave Solomon the plan for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry room, the storage room, the upstairs room, the inner sanctuary, which was a place of atonement in mind in the courtyards of the Lord's temple, and the outside room, the treasuries and the rooms for the gifts dedicated to the Lord." Amen. And I'm just going to pray in. Father God, I come before you, Lord, and I just thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for your word. God, I thank you, God, that you're raising up new people, God, young people, God. God, that you have a call for each and every single one of us, God. And I just pray, God, that you would move, God, this morning, Father God. Touch every heart, every mind, God. Use me, God, as your vessel this morning, Father, in your heavenly name. Amen. Amen. And this scripture is really heavy, amen, because it's David. He's giving instruction to his son. Amen. And the title of the message is Next Level Leader. Amen. And I'm excited because, you know, in this scripture, David's sharing with his son what's taking place. And I believe that that's what's happening within our church, within our movement. Amen. We're raising up a new steering committee, a new gang girl international leaders, amen. And I believe that that's what's taking place here too, that we're looking for leaders to be risen up, amen. And I believe that David trusted his son, so he was giving him instruction, amen. And I believe that that's something that we need to become the next leaders up, amen. Is one thing is we need to stay in tune, and one thing that they said is we need to stay in tune with God, and we need to stay in tune with our leadership, amen. They were saying that it's not one or the other, but it's both. And the only way that we're going to be able to move forward is when we come under the anointing of God and come under the authority of our pastor, amen. And they were saying that Revival, a lot of times, doesn't take place because there's no unity. Amen. And I thought that was so heavy because I believe that the thing that we need is to be able to have the same heart, to be able to come in one accord, and that's to have the heart of our pastor. Why? Because Pastor Charlie, I don't know if you guys know, but he's always in meetings with the regionals. He's always in meetings with the international. And if we want the heart of this ministry, if we want to keep moving forward, if we want the vision to stay pure before us, then we have to have the heart of our pastor because he's connected to the international. Amen. And I believe that one thing that Sister Jessica said and I thought was so heavy was that the third wave, what's so special about the third wave is that they don't know anything. Amen. But they're excited. And I believe that I could see that within my own life is that I don't know anything. I came into this ministry. Amen. And I didn't know how to do anything. But one thing I knew how to do, I knew how to come under my pastor. Amen. And because of that, I'm able to learn how to do media. I'm able to learn how to work with kids. I'm able to identify young people that are hurting. Amen. But it comes from coming under. And I believe that that comes with honoring our legacy. Amen. We got to stay in tune. We got to honor our legacy. How do we do that? By saying yes. And I got a quick little funny story, amen, that took place. Like I said, I've been here for about 4 years. So I've been under Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, and I believe that that's the only way we can move forward, amen. But how many know that, man, we're human and not always, like, are we excited to do everything, right? And I thought it was so funny because I was with Sister Marlene, and she was telling me that there's a kids gang breakout session, and she wanted me to get with the region and find girls to help greet. So I was like, okay, cool, I can do that. So I was texting everybody like, okay, we're going to meet at 1:15 at this room or whatever. And then she's like, Janie, don't forget the pom-poms. And I'm like, okay. And then I grabbed them and I was walking and I was like, dang, what do I need these for? You know, like, what are these for? And then they were like, oh, you're going to greet and you're going to be shaking these little pom-poms around. And I was like, man, dang it. Like before the church, amen, you would never catch me doing something like that. But it's just so funny. I was like, oh my God. So now I'm giving instructions to the girls in the region. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. I'm all excited, acting like I want to do it too. And I was like, no, do it like this. And then, so anyway. Anyways, we got through that, and then the next day I woke up, and Sister Marlene's like, Janie, I got a question. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, Sister Marlene? She's like, oh, we're going to greet at the next gen sign little booth. And I was like, okay, let's do it, Sister Marlene. So we go, and she's like, don't forget the pom-poms. I was like, amen, Sister Marlene. She's like, show me how you're going to do it. It was so funny, but it was just so funny because these are things that I would never do. You know, but because I come under, I'm able to learn, amen. And even that, there's a lot of things that I don't know how to do, but because I'm amen, and yes, I'm able to learn and I fall in love with it, like media. I've never liked to do that stuff. I never knew how to use a computer, but because I said yes, amen, I'm able to learn. And I believe that that's what's going to keep us moving forward, amen. I'd rather look foolish doing something I don't know how to do than staying stuck. Amen. And one thing Sister Jessica said, man, if you guys get a chance to hear anybody, I suggest Sister Jessica, you know, she gave a good word. She said, a lot of people don't check in because they're already checked out. Amen. And it's heavy, man. We got to continue to check in with our pastor, make sure we're doing things correct. They were saying that when we go to these things, it's like a plumb line to be able to see how close and how far we are to the vision. And I know I got mine. There was things that, you know, this is stuff that I have to share with, I feel I have to share with you guys, but there's things in my life, amen, that I got for myself, amen. And I know that even with the thing with the pom-poms, amen, it's funny, but man, like, I've learned so much. I remember coming to this church and I had no purpose. I remember coming to this church and all I knew how to do was box. That's all I knew how to do. You know, I came here, I was hopeless, I was suicidal. I believed I didn't have a purpose. You know, from the age of 8 to 12, you know, I don't share this with everybody, but I was abused. My first relationship was when I was 13 years old and he was older than me. Amen. And I got stuck. I felt hopeless. I had no purpose, but I came to this church and I found purpose and I found hope in Jesus. Amen. And it's because we had a pastor, amen, that protected the vision. It's a pastor that stayed in tune with God and with the vision and the leadership. And it's our job to do it now. It's our job to honor our legacy by locking arms, amen, with our pastor. Something Sister Julie Zager said, she said, I'm a recipient of my pastor's faith. And as long as Pastor Sonny is here, he'll never have to have faith by himself. Amen. And so that burdened my heart because, man, pastor's believing for this school. Amen. And I want to challenge us. He's believing for the church that it's going to be packed out. But I believe that it takes a people like us to lack faith with our pastor, that he wouldn't have to have faith by himself. His faith got us this building. But I don't want it to just be his faith that we get the school. I don't want it to be just his faith that this church gets built and packed out. It takes a responsibility on all of our parts. Amen. But not only to take our position, but to take our portion. Amen. Not to just hold down our spots, right? Not to, I know for a while I was doing media, not just to do media, not just to go to gang, but to connect, to do our part, to be burdened, to have an agony for the next generation like Pastor did for us. I know one message that he preached that I'll never forget is when he was saying that when he went to prison, God had us in mind, that his life got touched in prison. But when God touched our life, he had many more in mind. But when we're not in position and we're not taking our portion, those people aren't being saved. Amen. Those people still don't have purpose. Those people don't have understanding of life. And I believe that that's what's going to make us the next level leaders, is when we become burdened for the next generation and agonize for the next generation, just like our pastor did. Amen. And our next scripture is Exodus 2:23-25. And it says, during the long period, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And they cried for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groans and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked onto the Israelites and was concerned about them. Amen. And this scripture is heavy because God heard the cry of the Israelites and he remembered the promise that he gave them, that he was going to save them, that he was going to rescue them. And he used a man called Moses. Amen. And one thing they said out there was when God called Jonah, he said, why me? And Moses, he called Moses, he said, who me? But when he called Isaiah, he said, send me. Amen. And we got to be those kind of people that will be sent. And God used Moses to be a deliverer. Amen. He heard the cries of their people, his people, and he had a plan. Amen. And Moses was his plan. And I want to let you guys know that you guys are the plan that God has for the city of Milwaukee. Amen. I got to hear the different testimonies that were taking place. It was so heavy because normally at women's conventions, you hear the top-notch speakers, right? And we did. But they weren't the ones that we normally listen to. I know that they had someone go up and do a 10, and she was only saved for 2 years, and she just got out the woman's home. And it was just so heavy because, man, God was showing me that, man, he can use anybody, any walks of life. You know, and there was a pastor's wife all the way from South Africa, and she was sharing her testimony, and she said that she was homeless and that she would be sleeping on the floor. And she said that there would be people that would just walk over her and didn't even want to know her. But it was because Sister Julie fought for her, and just like she fought for her, she fought for those people in our city. And we can't drop the ball by not doing our part and going out and evangelizing, that we're the plan. We're the plan that God has, but we have to be willing to be used. We have to be willing to say yes to this vision and be concerned with what's taking place outside of the church. Amen. Another thing that they said was, we're called to intercession. You know, a lot of people, they asked who feels called to be an intercessor, and nobody really, there was a couple that raised their hand. They're like, do you know that intercession just means to stand in the gap? It just means to pray for somebody. You know, I don't know about you guys, but every morning, man, I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my church family. I'm praying for the city of Milwaukee, the leadership, the congregation. We're called to be intercessors, and nothing's going to happen if we don't get into the area of prayer, if we don't agonize, amen, if we don't come before God and ask God for his vision and his heart. I know for me, I know that the gang isn't going to grow unless I'm in prayer. I know that the ministry isn't going to grow. The church isn't going to grow unless I'm in prayer. So it's important that we not only have the heart of our pastor, but we have the heart of God. Amen. And I have one more scripture, and it's our promise scripture. Amen. And it says this, I will go before you and I will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summoned you by name. Amen. And that's a promise that, man, we're going to have treasures out of darkness. I remember when I first heard of the ministry of Victory Outreach, there was young girls giving out flyers, and they were telling me, that God has a purpose for you. And I remember they were like, wow, you're a treasure. And I was like, what is that? I literally was like, what is that? And it says a treasure hidden in secret places. Amen. It means that you have a purpose. You're just not in the right environment. Amen. And God is willing to be able to use us to go out there and find those people, those young people that are just like me. Amen. They said that the third wave, they're excited to have an opportunity. And I believe that there's a lot of people that just don't have an opportunity to change. They just don't have an opportunity to hear about God. But when we go, we're able to reach the treasures out of darkness. Amen. And it says that he will go before us. He will go before us. He will go before us. I believe that we have to really take that to heart, that he already went before us, that he placed Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene strategically in this city so that the whole city could be heard about God, about Jesus. Amen. But it's our responsibility to help lift their arms. It's our responsibility to be an extension. And that's why I'm always trying to get so close to our pastors. Why? Because I need to know their heart so that I can share it. I need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm in prayer, to be able to outpour onto the new person, the new congregation, the new person, the new young girl, the new young man, so that we can be able to have the same heart, the same vision. I don't want them to hear about Janie's heart. I want them to hear about the ministry of Victory Outreach. I want them to hear the heart of God. I want them to hear the heart of Pastor Charlie. And we have to believe that God has already went before us. When we speak to someone, God had them in mind. And sometimes I believe that the newcomer can have more faith than us, that they can change. We got to believe that they can change. The reason I changed was because Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene kept speaking into existence. Why? Because they were in tune with God. They put it in my mind, you can change. Things can change. I don't have to grow up the same. I don't have to do the same things. And I believe that that's what made an impact within my life. And God wants to do the same thing within all of our lives. But we have to believe it. We have to have faith. We have to have unity. And we have to be able to be willing to be the next leaders coming up. Amen? So with that, I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. God, I come before you, Lord, and I just thank you, Father God, that you don't use, God, the most polished people, God, that you use the treasures out of darkness, God. Father, and I pray that we would take it to heart this morning, God, that, God, you want to use us, Father God, that we are the plan that you have, God. God, that we would have the heart, God, of this ministry, that we would have the heart of you, Father God, and we would have the heart of our pastor, God, that we would lock arms, God, God, as a church, Father God, to be able to see the bigger picture, Lord God, that there's souls, God, that there's young people, God, suicidal and depressed, God. Father, that we would take it to heart, God, that our situation isn't so bad, Father God. God, that you want to reach, God, the hurting, Father, that you would use us, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Father, in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen, amen. How many were touched by Sister Janie's message, amen? It was a real powerful time for the women internationally, all around, all parts of Mexico, Africa, Panama, Texas, California, all around the world were there in Anaheim, in California, amen. And we have a mighty men of valor coming around the corner. That's going to be in San Antonio, Texas. It's going to be in San Antonio, Texas, for that we can also go and hear from the greatest speakers internationally right now within our ministry and the movement. But I decided to come up here because I wanted to call my wife up. But before I do that, she got real sick while she was out there, but she pressed in. And then Janie got real sick yesterday, but she pressed in. So there's times that we're going to have to press in. Things ain't going to be going our way. We're going to feel sick, and we're going to have to press in. So if the women can do it, amen. If the women can do it, man, we should be able to do it also, amen. But at this time, I'm honored to call forth my beautiful wife, amen, that pressed in to be able to be here today and share into your hearts as Sister Janie did, amen. Let's give my wife a good clap offering here this day. So I also know that I'm really excited for the church right now. You know, right after this, we're going to be doing a photo shoot, you know, with the leadership, and we're putting together a top-notch website right now, things that are needed right now within the church. The business about to open in the school, and all these areas, pulling every string available, anything I can do to grow this church. But I think one key thing Janie says that, you know, we are the ones that are going to grow this church. We are the ones that are going to bring Jesus to this city. Amen. It's you guys. It's you guys. Amen. But at this time, without wasting no more time, I'm going to have my beautiful, beautiful wife share.
Amen. I sent a whole bio. I thought it was going to be Jason calling me up. I'm going to give the bio on myself. So I've been saved for 25 years. I got saved in 1997. Amen. I came into the church lost, broken young girl. I had no hope, no purpose. I literally had nothing to my name. I had a basket of clothes. I was in shelters. I was in a battered and broken relationship with my son's father. He was in and out of jail. He was a heroin addict. And never knew what heroin was until I met him. And then he introduced me to my first line of cocaine. And from there, went to crack cocaine. And, you know, we were spent all our money just on drugs. Had a little boy, and he was part of that madness. And I remember calling out to God multiple times. Because I would look at him, I look at my little boy sometimes and be like, he doesn't deserve this kind of life. And, my brother got saved in Victory Outreach, and he was in a men's home, and I got invited. I mean, I remember being, even years before I started going to Victory Outreach, I remember being on the street, being at a gas station, 7-Eleven there in California, and a couple of guys, it was like a group of guys, they were handing out flyers, and they were inviting people to church, and it was to Victory Outreach. And at that time, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready, and, I ignored it. But there came a time, it came again, that opportunity, that invitation came again. And at that time, I was desperate. I was ready for change in my life. Amen. And so I gave my life to God, and I've never looked back. Amen. 25 years later, amen. 25 years saved, 23 years married. I have 3 beautiful children. My daughter, Bianca, which is 22. She's in the training center in Amsterdam, Holland. Amen. That next month will be 1 year, but she's staying an extra 2 months, so I'm really excited. Amen. I'm grateful for our ministry. I'm grateful, you know, that God saved Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, because if he didn't, none of us would be here today. Amen. How many know that somebody reached out to you? Somebody, you know, evangelized to you. And, you know, that's why you find yourself in church. And how many know there's a lot of broken people still out there that we need to reach? And you may know, you know, some of your family members, you know, and how many know that we need to be that extension of God? We need to be that extension of God. So I'm truly grateful. I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for our church here in Milwaukee. And I don't take this lightly. And I'm truly grateful. Amen. I thank God for his, you know, keeping power upon my life. Because it was God. It's been God that has kept me for 25 years. You know, how many know we can't do it without God? If you think you can do it without God, you're fooling yourself. And a lot of people fool themselves because they think they can do it without God, but we can't. Amen? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm grateful, amen, that I was able to go to Women's Convention. I'm grateful, amen, that our ministry offers these things for us to be able to grow and to impact our life and to speak into us. And Women's Convention was life-changing. It was spirit-filled. It renewed our faith, and we didn't leave the same. I know I didn't leave the same. I know Janie didn't leave the same, and there was thousands. They said that this year it was filled to capacity. There was over 4,000 women from all over the world. It's, like, so beautiful. You know, we were meeting women from Holland and Germany and Africa. It was just beautiful. And women come from all over the world, and we came to receive direction from God. And how many know that we are an end-time ministry? We're an end-time ministry. How many know that our ministry, we go to the streets? We go to the highways, the byways. We go under the bushes, under the freeways. Amen? How many know that we're not scared to do that? Because one time we were there. Come on. Maybe you weren't there. Maybe you knew somebody that was there. But we're a mega ministry. Amen? And how many know that there is sin. Amen. There's things that are taking place that the sign of the times is taking place, and we see it everywhere we go. How many watched the Grammys? They had a satanic ritual for everyone to see. And, it, you know, I looked at it, and it was crazy. It's crazy that, you know, they're just, you know, exploiting evilness, you know, not just on TV, but in our schools and everywhere we go. You know, and how many know that the enemy is not a respecter of nobody? He doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care about our children. He doesn't care if they're 1 year old, 5 years old, 10 years old. He doesn't care. And the theme for this year is the King is coming soon. And we need to believe that. We need to get it in our spirit that Jesus is coming soon, people. He's coming soon. And how many know we need to be right? Right? We don't want to be like, oh, I don't know. No, I want to be sure. I don't want to be like half in and half out. I want to be sure that I'm gonna be with my King. And really quickly, I just want to recap some of the messages. And the messages were powerful. I know we're going to be sharing some of them maybe on our Friday night service. But Crystal Solorzano, she's a pastor's wife. She said that we need to be alert, that during these times we need to be alert, that we need to be in tune, and we need faith. Sister Doreen Contanola, she preached on the end time army. Are you ready? She said, God has drafted us. He is our commander. A soldier knows what they're fighting for. Sister Alexis Vasquez said, challenge accepted. We are called to lead. We need to value prayer, and revival begins with us. Sister Sylvia Figueroa, she said, I am Wonder Woman. We can't do ministry in the natural, and we need to operate in the supernatural. Sister Georgina Valdez, the theme was dethrone the queen, enthrone the king. We need to be the light, but we can't if we don't know our identity in Christ. And how many know that the throne is only reserved for one? Amen? And in these days, we need to fight like never before. The king is coming soon, so we need to prepare for the fight of our lives. And the title of my message is Fight for Your Faith. Amen? Fight for your faith, I believe. Amen? How many know we got to fight? How many fighters do we have up in here? How many of you fought in the world? How many fought in the world? So you know how to fight, amen? But how many know we got to fight for God? We got to fight for what's right. We got to fight for our lives, amen? We need to prepare for the fight of our lives. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, excuse me. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and I'm going to read out the NIV. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I'm going to read out the Message Bible as well. It says, but you, Timothy, man of God, run for your life from all of this. Pursue a righteous life, a life of wonder, faith, love, steadiness, and courtesy. Run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embraced in the presence of so many witnesses. And the definition of faith means to complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Fighting the good fight of faith involves running from sin and pursuing things such as righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fighting the good fight of faith is about making a choice. And everybody here today, you have a choice to pursue God's will and a life of faith every day. So how many know that we wake up every day with a choice, right? There's many choices that we can make. But we need to make a choice to pursue God's will. I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's perfect will. I don't want to be doing what Marlene wants to do. Amen? I want to be doing God's will. I want to be in His perfect will. But I know that if I want to be in God's perfect will, I got to fight. I got to fight the good fight of faith. I have fought the good fight of faith. Amen? And what it means, I have fought the good fight, it means it's significant for us as believers today because it serves as a reminder that the Christian life is a struggle against evil within ourselves and within the world. And how many know that? How many know that we are fighting, amen, that there is a struggle right now against evil, right? We see it everywhere we go. Am I the only one here today that sees it? We're seeing it everywhere we go. And we need to exercise our faith in order for us to get spiritually stronger, right? How many know that we're not going to get spiritually stronger if we're not exercising our faith? If we're not trusting in God, a lot of times we want to do things our way, and we're not trusting in God, amen? And you know what that's going to do? That's not going to make you stronger. That's going to make you weaker. And how many know that we cannot limit ourselves, that we cannot be men and women that are foolish thinking that we can do it on our own? We need God in our life, and we need to fight, amen, the good fight of faith. Example, in order to look fit and trim, you need to put some work in and exercise, right? How many fit and trim people do we got up in here? I don't know about you, but I want to be fit and trim. I've been wanting to be fit and trim for over 20 years. I've been trying to be fit and trim. Pastor Troy goes, you've been saying that for a lot of years. You've been saying you're going to lose weight for a lot of years. I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you for being so encouraging. But how many know that you're not going to get those muscles if you're not lifting those weights, right? If you're not lifting, you're not going to build any muscle, right? You aren't going to lose that weight if you aren't exercising, right? Same with our faith. It needs to be put into practice, right? It needs to be exercised, especially in these last days. And we need to know that we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days, amen? And, you know, going to this women's convention, amen, and just being at the altar and just hearing our speakers, you know, it just puts it into perspective in, you know, what we're living and going through. You know, 20 years ago, we weren't going through the things that we're going through today or seeing the things that we're seeing today. You know, the enemy is throwing, you know, all these things in our face. Amen. And if there's ever a time that us as Christians need to rise up, it's now. Amen. We can't be those Christians that shrink back, that hide, that give up under pressure. I'm going to read a quick story. And the title is Dope on a Rope. All right. And then you'll get it as I read the story. It says, there once was this criminal who had committed a crime. He was sent to the king for his punishment. The king told him he had a choice of two punishments. So he had a choice of two punishments. One, he could be hung by a rope. Or two, he could take what's behind the big, dark, scary, mysterious iron door. The criminal quickly decided the rope. As the noose was being slipped on him, and how many know what a noose is, right? Like, it goes around your neck. He turned to the king and he asked, by the way, out of curiosity, what's behind the door? The king laughed and said, you know, it's funny. I offer everyone the same choice, and nearly everyone picks the rope. So, said the criminal, tell me, what's behind the door? I mean, obviously, I won't tell anyone. And then he pointed at the noose around his neck. The king paused, and he answered, freedom. But it seems most people are so afraid of the unknown that they immediately take the rope. And unfortunately, too many of us live our lives choosing familiarity of our rope. Like, familiar pain, familiar struggle, familiar patterns. Too many of us are far too fearful about the unknown. But how many know in life there's going to be a lot of unknowns? Come on. We live a life that's going to be filled with a lot of unknowns. But if you want to live your best life, you have to live by faith and not by fear. See, we can allow the enemy to place fear upon our lives. How many know that fear is not of God? Fear is not of God. And we're living these last days, amen? And again, we can't shrink back. We can't back down. You need to fight it out and not back down. You got to fight it out. And a lot of times we give in to our sin instead of fighting it. A lot of times you give in to your sin instead of fighting it. And I think that's our problem today. A lot of people become, you know, they become familiar, you know, with what they're going through, and they think there's not another way out. And I'm here to tell you that there is another way out. I want to let you know that there's hope in Jesus, amen? But you got to fight. You got to fight, church. You got to fight. Those of you that are watching, you have to fight. You have to persevere. You know, we flew out on Monday, and I started feeling a little sick under the weather, and I've been on DayQuil every single day since Monday. Every day I've been taking DayQuil, you know? But I'm like, I cannot let this take me down because I need to get mine. Amen? I need to fight. Amen? I need to fight this sickness. And how many know sometimes we give into it? We give into it. Even this morning, I woke up not feeling 100%, but I fought it. You know? I fought it. I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to sing today. I could have been like, no, I'm not going to sing today. I'm not feeling so good. I'm just going to sit it out. I'm just going to sit out. No, I fought it. Amen. And a lot of times, amen, we like give in to what we're going through. A lot of times we give in to what we're feeling and what we're going through. And how many know our feelings, our emotions, they profit nothing. They profit nothing in our lives. We need to be men and women of God that know how to fight. You got to fight. How many have somebody they need to fight for? You have a family member, amen? You have a family member, amen, that's going through things. You know, whether it's drugs, health problems, maybe in your marriage, maybe with your children, whatever it may be. But how many know that we got to be those people that rise up and fight? We got to know how to fight. You know, when push comes to shove, we got to fight. How many know if that you get pushed into a fight, you're going to fight? You're going to fight. You're not going to run away. You're going to fight. I'm grateful that when I was growing up, amen, I had bodyguards. I didn't have to fight because I was so small. All my friends, they were like bigger and they were fighters. I wasn't a fighter, but my friends were fighters, and they're like, you don't mess with Marlene. Like, nobody messed with me because of my friends, amen? But when I came to God, when I gave my life to God, how many know when you gave your life to God, you made an enemy? You made an enemy. And again, he is a respecter of nobody, and he's going to come at you. So when he comes at you, what are you going to do? Are you going to back down, or are you going to fight? Are you going to get in that stance? Are you going to fight and say, uh-uh, devil? Not on my watch, devil. You ain't going to touch my family, devil. You ain't going to have my ministry, devil. So instead of giving in to sin, instead of giving in to our sin, we need to be those fighters, amen, that fight against it, come against it. But how many know if we're not praying, if we're not in our word, we're not going to be up on game? We're going to be blind. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 2 in the NLT, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. In the Message translation, it says, the fact is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what is distinguished, that has distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Amen? The fact is that this trust in God, this faith, is our firm foundation. I don't know about you, but I want to have a firm foundation. I want to build on a firm foundation. How many know that if you build something, amen, on like that's not firm or it's not strong, it's going to crumble, it's going to fall. And I want to be a woman of God that builds my foundation on God. I want to build my foundation on truth, amen? And we got to be those men and women of God that build our foundation on truth, amen? Not lies, amen? Not deception, but on truth, amen? God is calling us to step out and trust in him. How can we exercise our faith and grow if we stay in our comfort zone? Come on, church, it's time for you to get out of your comfort zone. I see a lot of people that have gifts and talents, and they're sitting on them. Today you're sitting in here, and God has gifted you, but you're not using it. You're not using it. And how are you going to grow your faith? How are you going to grow, amen, if you're staying in your comfort zone? I know when I first started coming to church, I knew nothing. I didn't know how to do anything, but I was a person that stepped out. Even though I didn't know how to do it, I stepped out. Amen? I was, you know, kind of at the point was like, I'm going to fake it till I make it. And sometimes we need to do that. Amen? We got to fake it till we make it. But as I started serving, as I started stepping out of my comfort zone, God started showing me my gifts and my talents. Amen? He started, you know, doing that work in my life. But I had to have faith in God. I had to have faith in God that God has my back. And how many of you know that God's got your back? Come on, church. God's got your back. It feels good when somebody's got your back. When I was in junior high and high school, it felt good that I had my friends. They had my back. I didn't have to worry. I was talking all crazy, and they would fight my battles for me. And we need to know today that God wants to fight our battles. But how many know we got to do our part? We got to do our part. You know, we're expecting this and we're expecting that, but we're doing nothing for it. How many know that you can't get nothing if you don't do something? Right? Does that make sense? You know, we all want God to move. I want God to move. I want God to do this. I want God to do this. But what are we doing? What are you doing? What are you doing to further the kingdom of God? What are you doing, amen, to do your part, amen, in bringing souls in, to reach your family? And I feel like we always got to be doing an inventory of our life. We can't stay stuck. We can't be building on the sand, right? We got to build on a firm foundation. Can't stay stuck. We can't stay in our comfort zone. If you stretch your faith, how many know you're going to grow your capacity? And I want to be a woman that grows my capacity. I don't want to have a small capacity. I don't want to have small thinking. We are in a ministry that is mega. We are in a mega ministry. Do you know that? That we are all over the world. Our church is all over the world. Basically, you have family all over the world. I want to be mega-minded. I don't want to be small-minded. And a lot of times, we allow ourselves to become small-minded. And I want to let you know that God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. Come on, church. He wants to use your life. But a lot of times we stay comfortable and we're expecting God to move. We're expecting God to fight our battles. But we're just kicking back. We're just relaxing. I'm sorry, but God's not going to fight your battles if you're doing nothing. And the enemy is going to come in like a flood. And then you're going to be there calling on God. God, help me. God, what am I going to do? When you have been given opportunity time and time and time and time again, but you're doing nothing. I came into the church knowing nothing, but God taught me everything. God raised me up. Amen. The ministry of Victory Outreach raised me up. They gave me an opportunity, and I'm grateful, amen, because it allowed my small mind to become bigger, amen. It allowed my thinking to become bigger. How many know the story of Jacob and Esau? I don't have time to go through it, but if you get a chance, go back and read it, for those of you that may not know. But the story of Jacob and Esau, Jacob and Esau were twins, right? And Jacob, or Esau, sold his blessing for a bowl of soup. Esau sold he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He sold out for a bowl of soup, but Jacob, his brother, he fought for his blessing. He fought for his blessing. And today, some of us, we're selling out for a bowl of soup. We're selling out for a bowl of soup. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known as a sister that sold out for a bowl of soup when God had a blessing. God had a blessing. And God has a blessing, amen, today. But God wants to use your life. He wants to use your life. What kind of fight have you been putting up this past year? If you look back, look back and be like, you know, have I really been fighting? What kind of fight? What kind of fight do I have in me? How many know that we're not fighting against flesh and blood? I'm not here to fight with you. Amen? We're not supposed to be fighting with one another. Amen? We're supposed to be fighting against the principalities of darkness. The rulers of this world. Amen? Not fighting against each other, but what kind of fight do you have in you? Have you been so overwhelmed at times that you lost your fight? And I know, like, sometimes we get overwhelmed. Things take place. Life happens, right? Life happens. Have you been so overwhelmed at times that you lost your fight? Have you become weak, discouraged, and wounded? But how many know that Jesus can change that? Jesus can heal, amen. Jesus can change, amen. Jesus, you know, he has, you know, the greatest power, amen. God, you know, is supreme over all. But we need to get to a place that we call out to God, amen. Is there a people that have a fight in them? Do we have a people in the church today? Those of you that are watching, do you have a fight in you? Are you saying, like, I'm tired of doing this? I'm tired of being in this place. That's why I came to church, amen? That's why I was ready, amen, to give my life to God, because I was tired of what I was going through. I was tired of what was taking place in my life. I was tired of seeing my little boy discouraged, amen? I was tired of seeing that I had nothing to give to him, nothing to give to him. And I came to a place, amen, where I was weak, I was discouraged, I was wounded, amen? And I came to that place in my life that I was ready to trust God. I was ready. I was like, I was ready for anything, basically. Is there a people that have a fight in them that you're saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up, Sister Marlene. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to do what God has called me to do. You know, when you see fights on TV or you go to a fight, amen, you don't see those fighters giving up. They fight it out, right? I mean, what is it, 12 rounds? Is it 12 rounds? Right, majority fights? 12 rounds, you know, and you see these fighters, man, they're at 11th round, blood gushing. Their eyes, you can't even see their eyes, you know. But they're not giving up because they want to win the fight. They want to win that fight because they know that there's a prize. They know that there's a blessing, amen, if they win that fight. And we need to know today that there is a blessing. That there is a blessing, not just for your life, but for your family's life. Amen. For the lost and bound. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, it reads, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The scripture is saying, amen, that we have fought the good fight. We have finished the race, amen. I have kept the faith. And now there is a crown of righteousness. How many know, amen, that when we get to heaven, we're going to be crowned with a crown, amen? That we're going to be with our Jesus, amen? And I don't know about you, but I don't know if that is that what you're longing for? We need to get past seeing what today is, you know, what today holds. But God has a future for us with him. It's not about, you know, trying to get the dollar and trying to make this happen, amen? It's about being right with God. It's about doing what is right, amen? And having our faith in God. And fighting it out, amen? As the worship team makes their way, and as they come up, In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, I didn't give it to them, but it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How many know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Come on, church, you got to know that if you have God in your life, if you, God is with you, who can be against you? Come on. Become skilled in putting on the armor of God. We got to be women and men that know how to use our sword of the Spirit. Come on. We got to know how to use that shield of faith. And a lot of us here, we don't know how to fight. We come to church and the enemy is coming at us and we're not doing nothing. We're backed up in the corner. And God is saying, call out to me, daughter. Call out to me, son. All you got to do is come to me. I've been waiting on you. And the enemy is coming at you at all angles. He has you cornered. But you're not using what he's given you. We need to know we're living the last days, amen? And it's time that we raise up because somebody is looking to you. Somebody is looking to you. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? You're going to allow somebody else to take it? To take your blessing? Are you at a place where you're desperate, where you're like, you know what, Sister Marlene, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to give my all to God, whatever he wants for my life, whatever he wants to do, because I know that my life belongs to him. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. Come on, how many believe that? Some of you are not supposed to be here today. Some of you face death. You were supposed to die. But God has a plan for your life. See, he didn't allow you to come with him. He didn't allow you to go because he's not finished. He's not finished with your life. He's not finished because he has called you. He has something special in store for you. But we need to come today. You know, I'm going to open the altars today, not right now. But if you're going to come to these altars, amen, you're making a declaration. I want you to come to the altar saying, you know what? I am ready to do what God has called me to do. Because church, if it's not you, then who is it going to be? We got to be that church that goes into those streets, that goes into those grocery stores. In our schools, we got to be those examples, amen, of men and women of God that are not going to back down against the fight, but we're going to be men and women that are going to rise up, amen, that we're going to take our place. We're living in the last days and evil is all around us, and we can't escape it. You can't sit here, those of you that are watching, thinking, it's not going to get me. Now, I'm good. I'm good, Sister Marlene. I'm good. I'm good. Peace in the Middle East. I'm good where I'm at, Sister Marlene. But I want to let you know you're not good. You're not safe. You think you're safe being in that comfort zone? You're not safe. You got to learn how to fight. We got to fight. We got to be those fighters that fight. You know when they say when the going gets tough, the tough get going? And as we stand this morning, right now God is saying, come on and fight. Come on, church, fight. He's saying, come on, fight because he loves you. He wants you to claim all his blessings. Not just one. He wants you to claim all his blessings because God has blessings for your life. He has blessings for your family. But today, we need to make a declaration that we're going to rise up in faith. Amen. We're going to rise up in faith and lay hold of his promise. We're going to stand up and fight. And today, we're going to use, amen, what he's given us. You have strength here today. You're not weak. But you're weak when you don't use it. And I don't want to be weak because I'm not using what God has given me. So today I'm going to open up the altars, amen. For those of you that are saying, you know what, Sister Marlene, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to give in anymore to that temptation. I'm not going to give in to those urges anymore. Because I want to let you know here today that God has given you what you need to fight. I want you to take up that sword. I want you to take up that shield. And I want you to fight, not just for yourself. I want you to fight for your family. Come on, church, we got to fight for our families. Come on, as the worship team, amen.
There's an army rising.
Come on,
up.
It's time for you to rise up, amen.
There's an army.
Come on, church.
Rising up.
Come on, take what God has given you.
There's an army rising up. To break every chain. To break.
Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shayamanda yere bebe si arabaku yamalo.